Tell it what you want. Jesus, I'm the main plan. Now, 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 now. Jesus, I'm the main plan. Now. Amen. Hallelujah. He's here tonight. That's your fault, Kenny. You get me going, you know. I got that blood inside me. So, are you happy to be here? Amen. Thank you, musicians. I am glad to be here. I don't know about you guys, but I am. In fact, I felt good this morning. You guys were a good audience. I felt good. I felt ease. I finished all my notes that I usually had to kind of cut short. I went all the way to the end, and I was relaxed. So that counts for something. I was not pressured, and I didn't feel no pressure. So either you were sleeping or no. No. You were listening and you were paying attention. I am a challenge. I give you that much. Ask my wife. I am a challenge. Because the way I express myself, the way I speak English, I think in Spanish and I do English. So the structures of my sentence are a Spanish structure using the English language that you never heard it that way before. So it's a challenge for you to take the syntax and make sense. Oh, what he's talking about. Oh, I see. So instead of saying remote control, I say control remote. Because in Spanish, it's control remoto. So that's what I think. So when I say English, I say control remote. Then you say, what are you saying? Well, it's a challenge for you, and it's a challenge for me to learn. I know Kenny always get me when I said, well, I hope everybody's come back sound and safe. You never heard it that way, though, because that's not the way English is spoken to you. You are more familiar with safe and sound, see? But that's just me. In Spanish, it's different. Everything is, well, according to Spanish, everything is backwards, and other languages, too. So what happened, I think in Spanish, I speak the English, and that's what it sounds like. So it is a challenge to you to figure out, well, what is that guy is going with this, you know? I'm not going backwards for sure. I'm going forwards because I'm not the backward guy. You guys are backwards. Spanish been a Latin. Spanish been around longer than English. So you figure. Anyway, English is so crazy. So let's go back to our scripture this morning. I think it's Matthew 28. Let me get this energized here. Amen. Let's see if we can. Okay. So let's go to Matthew 28. And let me pick up that verse that we used this morning. Let's see. A.M. Okay. Matthew 19:28. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I said unto you, that ye which have followed me," I'm glad I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He told me, he says, follow me. He told Peter, follow me. He's still saying, follow me. And I'm glad he put something in my heart to respond to that call. Because, you know, that's not something that I made up myself. See, in the regeneration, see, in the day where all things are made anew, afresh, where all things will be transformed and changed. And that day, it's going to be a day that this is going to end. In that day, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, and we'll be sitting right next to him. That's where we are. You don't see it, but you have to read between lines. But the brand says, read between lines. That's why the love letter is all about. That's where I am, sitting next to him in his throne. In his glory. You shall also, now he was talking to the disciples at this time, so you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word first. We thank you for this place that you have let us have to come together and separate to worship you. Thank you for your purchase blood, the saints that are here tonight, Father, and those that, for whatever reason, Father, are not here, you bless them, you touch them, if they are sick and needy, Father, we want the same thing for them that I like for myself, health and joy and strength. I want them to have this. It doesn't matter. We are not here to judge who do and who come and who don't. We want to have what you have for us tonight, that they will have it somehow. Touch them, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to be with those that are coming back. Be with them and keep them, Lord. Father, bring them home safe, Father, and refresh for the next service. If we do have one, Father, we will come expecting, Father, because if we're still here, it's because we are not done. Father, it will be a time that it will be the end of all things when the last one comes in, and then we all be done. Father, we pray for the service tonight. Talk to us, Lord. Help us to understand, Father, the things that sometimes it is sometimes hard for me to structure them in the way that people knows how to they hear English, Lord, but you help me, Lord, and you, because that's what the Holy Ghost is here for. And we are trusting you, and we are that is our trust in you, Father. We are not trusting in ourselves. I ain't got nothing to offer. Father, I will get out of the way. Father, use this vessel for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. So you can be seated. So now let me change this real quick. And we continue. Amen. Okay, PM. Now remember what regeneration is all about. Regene, you know? A little bit here, a little bit there, you know. God is making us anew, afresh. That's what regene means, you know? The end result is he's trying to reproduce himself in you.
Yes.
That's deep. Now, you think that's his thought? He's reproducing himself in you. And one of these days, that work will end. And you are going to be, again, God in flesh. Amen. He's in flesh right now. Amen. But we're still not, you know, potentially 100% done. Amen. According to his word, he's finished. But we're still going through the process that is going to take us there. And that is the goal. That is the vision, to be like him. So as we progress in this life, I was challenged this morning to ask the question, where am I? You know? Because I just don't like no surprises when I get to the river. I want to make sure that if it's tonight, I'm ready. Or if tomorrow, I'm ready. Or if death come before, then I'm ready. Well, I have to make sure that, I mean, this is not in vain. And I don't think it is. So, in order to continue, I'm trying to explain the process now. What I want to do tonight is explain to you something that the Lord taught me. And it is, we can know how this cycle works. See? I'm going to show it to you. And how this process works. You know, God has no secret. Where do you read in the Bible that God told you, I got a secret, go and figure it out? In fact, it is a secret for them out there. But for you and me, God has a secret, but he's telling you the secrets. Not only he tells you the secret, but he reveals you the secret. That means he makes the secrets known to the bride. You know, every time he talks to you, he makes you know something through the revelation of the Holy Ghost in your life. You can take that, right? So there's no secret. It's secret for them. So God is not trying to hide from you and you know, hey, you know, you figure it out, and when you get it all figured out, come to me and let me see if I can accept it or not. No. He knows what he's doing. He's the one that started the work. He will finish the work. So I don't have to try to guess where I am. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. I just try to figure out where I am actually, you know, from here to the end. We know we're closer today than yesterday. We know that. So, Peter, I was looking at Peter, and we're going to read Peter in a minute. Let's go to 2 Peter 1, and I'm going to read 1 through 5, because Peter gives us a clue of how all this cycle. It is a cycle of just like the butterfly. The butterfly is a cycle this morning. I told you, you know, It's go four phases, and he continued repeating. Once the butterfly reproduces itself, it starts a new cycle. See, we are the last cycle. Once Gabriel, and he's finishing now with the bride. We are the top, at the head. Once he's been building her from six edges, feet started. Now we are on the head, on the eyes, on the brain. See? And one of these days, the bride is not going to go down to start a new cycle. Let me tell you, the cycles are over. The only cycle that I'm waiting is to break the cycle to go up, because I'm not going down to start all over again. Cycles are over. That's where we are. And you and I are the last leg of the cycle. On the race, there's nobody else to pass this message now. We eat. And they cannot come back until I get there. That is the thing. We are not going to hold them back, because we are going to make it. See, they know that we are not going to go down. We're going to go up. Peter said, and Peter gave us the whole thing in a nice little package, and I want to extract it out of there and show you how this works, in how the tests work. You know, you go to school, and you know where you are, you know, in your education, so you give you a test. You know, here's a test. Okay, you made it or you don't make it. You made A, B, or C, whatever. You learned the material, you didn't learn the material. Let's go back, whatever. It's always an assessment. At work, you get an assessment. Who you are, where you are, your performance. I mean, we live. That's the kind of world we are living. Everyone wants to know where you are. Because there's more improvement to be made, right? Yes. So I cannot improve unless I know what I need to be to improve on. Same thing with this. We need to come to church, and we need to know where we are, what we need to be improved, and so God can stop you. God don't need, he knows, but you need to know. Because you are the one that's going to make it happen. I mean, in the sense that, just like an alcoholic, you know, you cannot help him until he believes that he's an alcoholic. Nobody's going to help you unless you get to the point that you say, I need help. But when God reveals something to you, then you can say, oh, sure, I need help with that. That's what I want to get to. That's my next step. So Peter says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, me, amen, with us through the righteousness of God. It was also God righteousness, see, and a Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to be multiplied to you through the knowledge. Now, you want peace and you want grace? It can be multiplied. He says it can be. You can have more. You know, just because you got saved 20 years ago, that don't end there. This is a process that you're supposed to get more and more and more, less of you and more him, until it is him and you disappear completely. So, but if you want to be the grace of God to be multiplying your life through the knowledge, the more you know him, the more you fall in love with him. And the more the Holy Spirit will help you do. But see, we have to have the knowledge. And that's why we are here, learning the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, some people don't have peace because they're still, you know, non-stable, because they still don't know what God can do for them. You know, if you get a cancer, Brother Van says, don't fear cancer. See, I got peace. If you get sick, you got peace. Why? Because we understand, we have a knowledge of God. The Bible tells us, and we heard it so many times, I'm not telling you anything new, but we know that we don't have to be afraid. Because if we are afraid, then we don't understand the love of God. You heard that just not too long ago. See, but fear, you know, is what we call fear. That's not of God. That's of the devil. But the only thing that can chase fear away is what? Understanding the love of God. And if you fear tonight for something, that means the love of God has not become perfect, have not perfected you yet. Because I know God loves me. So why should I worry? You know that when you worry and you are anxious, all that brings cancer. Brother Brown said it's on the message. All that brings stress, it brings diseases. You know, it's not because the diseases are there ready to get you. Yeah, if you get into that position and your body, you know, immune system, because stressed out and depressed, but they come in. But see, the thing is that we don't have to live that way. Why? Because I know God loves me. The grace of God will not send me where the power of the Holy Ghost can keep me, protect me. I go to Mexico all the time. I don't know. I just came from Mexico not too long ago. For 20 some years, almost 30 years, I've been in and out. I eat everything I want to. I go and come. I haven't had anything. Praise the Lord. It's not me. God will not send me to a place that he cannot protect me. The grace of God will send me and he will protect me because he loved me. That's all. You husband, don't you protect your wife and your children because you love them? See, that's what the love of God will do. Anyway, according to his divine power, his divine power has given unto us all things. What is the power? The divine power is God has divine power, but you and I, if we got the Holy Ghost, we got power. Not out of ourselves, that's God in us, Christ in us. The Holy Ghost in us is the power of God living in us. So that divine power has given us all things. Now, what are you lacking? According to my scripture, it says here, giving you all things. What do you need right now? I don't care. Financial, I don't care. All things is all things. Pertaining, it has to be according to the scripture, all things that pertain unto life. Well, that should cover everything right now. There's life spiritually and there's life naturally. Anything that has to do with life, life eternal, he says. And what? And godliness. Through the knowledge, here we go again. You cannot go and do something. I can do nothing unless I know what I'm doing. If you cannot perceive what you're supposed to be doing, how can you do it? You have to have a clear understanding of what you need to do. When you go to work, they give you instruction, they give you a plan, they give you a schematic. You have to have a clear idea, concept of what the boss wants you to do. You will not do it. See, and knowledge, the knowledge of God, of the Word of God, that is what gives us the power to the Holy Spirit to go and do those things. She says, life and godliness. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Now, godliness, that word, we need to define that word. Let's go to the Bible to get the definition. Let's go to Proverbs 1:7. And you heard this before. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of knowledge. Wisdom. Knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. Now, Proverbs 8:13. Here's the definition of godliness. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, and evil ways. And the froward mouth do I hate. So, the fear of the Lord is to stay away from what? Shunt away from what? Evil. I want you to remember that because that's what godliness is. It's to be obedient to the Word of God. If you're obedient to the Word of God, you do what He says and you never have to worry about evil. There's only two things to do. Either evil or good. Now, someone that is getting close to be godliness or have godliness, then it's a person that knows how to stay away from what? From trouble, from the world. He wants to please God, not the world. We're going to get to that point because the Bible said we need to get there. And I'm going to show you in a minute. Because that is one of the stages. That's one of the elements that is going to give you, you know, some knowledge of where you are. Godliness. Because if you chunk away evil, you know where you are. But we're still playing with evil or the world. The Bible said, if you love the world, the love of God is not what? In you. Amen. But godliness is to stay away from evil. Then choose the word and not choose evil. Amen. Now, the other stuff being pride, what happens when you choose evil. You get arrogant. That's what that word means. You may get pride. Huh? And then we move in evil ways. But you and I, we are not the children of the darkness. That's not for me. See, there's no secret. God is light. And light is truth. I'm not walking in darkness to see where I'm going or what I should, trying to see if I make it. I know where I'm going and I walk in the light. I'm not going to stumble unless Satan puts something in my way. And even that, God has a purpose when he allows Satan. So fear, I want you to keep that in mind. Fear is to respect God to the point that you don't want to do anything against him. Evil stuff. You know, that is what Brother Doug was talking about. Children lose their respect, their parents, and they won't respect anybody. And then you see them driving out there in a car, and in the back says, no fear. You seen it? That's what it means. I don't care, and I'm not afraid of you, and I don't care what I got to do to you, because I don't fear you, I don't respect you. So don't get off my face. And then you have it in the truck, no fear. But where do you think they got that from? From the Bible. They think everything is new. There's nothing new under the heavens. Now, moving forward, 2 Peter 1:4 now says, whereby are given unto us, he's going to show us how can we be godly. He says, where are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might partake of the divine nature, see, of God. That is what this message will produce. This is what this word will produce in you, the divine nature of God. And what is the divine nature of God? God is love. Amen. God will produce his own attributes that he had in his mind. Those attributes is the nature of God in you. Every one of you are an attribute of God. And God is trying to reproduce, regenerate, reproduce himself, those attributes back in you. That's all it is saying. The promises will bring through the Holy Ghost, and the revelation will bring the nature of God in my life. It's a lot of far-fetched, but it's not, actually. He says, partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Of course, our nature has been changed. We don't have to worry about that. That's how we escape. We are free now. That is in the world through laws. 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, that mean making every effort possible. And I'm not judging, but I make every effort possible to take an advantage of a service. Why? All diligence. You know? Every effort to respond to God, to God's promise. See? Because he says, these promises is going to bring about the new nature in you, my nature. So I don't want to miss any opportunity. I want to make all I can in my power, let the Holy Ghost take out the rest, to be what I need to be. Brother Brown says one of these days, those doors, people be waiting to open, that they open the doors to come in. They have a line. Why? Because the Word of God. The Word of God. Everybody's going to be after. And besides this, giving diligence, make an effort, see? And add to your faith. Now, here we go. You want the nature of God? Now, Peter is starting to tell us. I look at things a little bit different than everybody. That's what my challenge is. Because he gave me the whole answer. We want the nature of God. This is how it works. He says, on 5. Oh, I lost it. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue add knowledge. And then remember when Jesus was walking and it was a multitude pressing against him, and there was a woman that had a blood issue. Remember that story? And what happened when that woman touched him? Virtue went out of him. What is that? We're going to find out that that is power. That's the power that makes miracles. Now, a man like Jesus, that is all God, you know, that man has such a power, the power of God living in him through the Holy Ghost, that you touched them and you felt the power. You know, you and I, we are walking and we're supposed to have the same thing. You said that's impossible. No, what happened to Paul and Peter? They just walk and they just, what, take a piece of his garment? That's all it took. That's how much power. Paul was over there one day in an island, and it's this snake that was the high poisonous snake. And he beat him in the arm, and they looked at him because they were waiting for him to die at any moment. Right. But it was too much power in him. Right. The power of the Holy Ghost. So this is not something incredible. It's not fables or story, fiction. And I think that you and I, we got to that point too. We should get to that point where we have so much power, God, that you can help somebody else. People will know. People will come to you. You pray for me or this or that. Somebody behind me? Okay. So there will come the time, and I believe that is close, that with you will have such a power that you will be able to help somebody. Brother Brand says, you know, helping others, you know, you will see heaven's door open. That is our goal. What Jesus do? He went and became a servant, took a form of a servant, and that is to help everybody. That is the spirit that was in him. What do you think that spirit is? The same spirit in us. But we got to get to the point where somebody can see you and recognize who you are, and they come and touch you. Oh, me? Who do you think I am? A prophet? You don't have to be a prophet. You just have to have a life that vindicates that the Holy Ghost and the power of God is in you. You know, we should be able to call one another when we have troubles. We should be to that point when if I need some help, I should call you. Brother, pray for me or come and I need to talk to you. I got a problem. You know, because there's something in each one of us that we need from each one. And that power comes through the Holy Ghost. I was in Mexico last few weeks ago and I finished my preaching. And I challenge the people. I say, God is here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here. And I said, you know, I want one person that has an urgent need. A social urgent need that if you don't get resolved right now, if God don't speak to you, it's over. And I waited. And I waited because I didn't want to pray for everybody, really. So, finally, a lady in the side just need a sister. I says, just come down. And just come and be silent. Be quiet. Don't tell me anything. Because I cannot reach your mind. And I don't have no gift to reach your heart. That's God only can know what is in your heart. But he's here. And if he's here, he can tell us. If you have a need, you can touch him. And now, you know, he can respond to you. If you can believe that. So she stood there. And her head was bowed and her hands up, very humble, little sister. And I asked her, will you look at me for a minute? And she looked at me. And I'm just no words, just instructions. Finally, I looked at her and says, you have problem. You have family problems. And she, head went down and her tears started coming down. And she, I don't know who this lady is. And I'm not claiming to have anything. I'm only claiming that he is here. And if you have any need, you don't have to leave the way you come in. You can leave, you know, with your needs taken care of. Why? Because the power is here. Why come into church and live the same way when you can live different? I told the sister, furthermore, look at me. Your problem is your husband. You and your husband are having problems. And she just forget it. From there on, I said, you know what? I don't need to know anything else. I don't need to know details. But God knows your heart. I don't know that. Where do I get all that stuff from? I don't know. But I know there's power in the Holy Spirit that lives inside me. The same God that was yesterday is working the same way today and greater. I believe that. So I said, let's pray, and I pray for her. Then, next thing I know, I finish praying, and he's lying all the way to the door. I said, wait a minute, this is not what I wanted to do, but I had to pray for each one. And I don't pray the way you just pray, you know, regularly. When I prayed, I don't know how I pray, but I pray something that is had to deal with his with the problem of this person, and it's 12 persons going now. So by the time I finished, I know I was a little tired, but at the end, I prayed for the husband of that sister. But God did not reveal to me who he was, and that's fine with me. So when I go outside, he comes back after a while, and he says, I am the problem husband. I said, you were the problem husband. So go on rejoicing, you know, with your wife. Because if God thought enough of that sister, don't you think that's enough to fix the problem? Why? I don't have anything in me. I don't have any gift that, you know, I'm not a prophet. I don't have a gift like Brother Branham, but I'm just telling you, we're going to have to get there. Amen. I had a dream in Puerto Rico. I thought we were kidding, but I never told, and my wife, I never told the dream when I was at home before my father, after my father passed away. And in that dream, we don't do things by dreams, but I had dreams. This one is the first one after 10 years that I had the last one 10 years ago when I came to this church. How God led me so I can leave and come. I got the okay from the bus. Go. And he showed me in a dream how I was going to do this. After having had a dream, but now I had a dream about 9 years now since the last one. Not all my dreams are good. I mean, it's spiritual, but some are. I can recognize which one are because God gave me that. So I was just there. And I don't know what happened, but I had dreamed with Brother Branham many times. And please don't shoot me for that. And this is the first time I was dreaming with somebody sitting in a throne. I don't have to look straight. I mean, I'm very reverent even in a dream. I mean, I'm looking, but I'm not fixing on anything. I don't try to record. I just know what's going on around me. I know there were people, and There's someone in the throne and two angels in the side dressed like regular people, like oriental people dressed, like Jesus would dress, like a king would dress, you know. So I was summoned to get closer. So I got closer to the throne and I kneel. You know, I would not bring my head up, you know. That's reverence. It's not fear, you know. So he asked me, stretch your hand. So I stretched my right hand. And he went like this with his right hand, and he deposits something in my hand, and it started a change from my hand. It started just coming up like if you get bit by a scorpion or a snake, you know how you start feeling. I never been, so I heard that start coming up to my head and to my feet until it consumed me completely. I was changed. I lost my mind. I lost my body. I cannot tell you I can't even explain you the feeling of losing yourself completely. Your mind is gone. You have a new mind. You have a new body. But I cannot explain it was so sublime, but I cannot explain it to you. That don't make me anybody and no more special than you. God dealt with me in certain ways. So when I came from Puerto Rico, that's when I started asking you guys, if you have an urgent need, come. Because whatever he gave me, you know, Peter says, gold and silver I have none, but what I got, I give unto you. Right. What was that? The power of that spirit in him that can raise the dead. That power is here. That power was not only for Brother Branham. And I'm not saying that power of knowing people's hearts, I don't know theirs. That's only God. But see, God can tell you something. Listen, when I'm talking to that lady and I'm talking to some of you before I went to Mexico, it don't come through my mind. I cannot explain it to you. Brother Brown tried to explain it all the time. It don't come through my mind. I don't have to think. It just comes through my vocal cords. So what I have to say, I don't have to think about it. It just pours out. To me, it's new. I don't even know why. One time I was in the... This happened to me before, but not to the extent that is happening now. I was in the shop helping my wife, and my sister-in-law, one of my sister-in-law comes in, and I looked at her. Suddenly I said, wow, you're pregnant again. And my wife is next to me, and she wanted to kick me because she thought I would be funny. She's a little bit heavy. Not. So she thought I was joking. And she wanted to kick me, really. Shut up, you know. I said, okay, I don't know what I told her. I will never play with people's feelings. I will not offend nobody. Then she went in. But before she went in, she said, yes, and I got twins. So I thought she was being funny by now. But she goes out there, and she talked to my wife in secret. And she said, I haven't told anybody yet. And I'm telling everybody, you know, one-to-one. But I am pregnant, and I got twins. My wife comes and look at me like, what has happened? Well, I don't know. Who told me that she was? I don't know. It's just something that came out of my mouth. And it was true. And it's not the first time. I'm not special. I'm just challenged. Spiritually challenged. You know, I don't deserve anything. But whatever I get, I will take. I'm not seeking gifts, and I'm not seeking anything. But whatever God gives me, I will take it. Okay, se me cerró esto. He closed on me. I had to look at it again. Okay. Let's see where we were. I need to continue. I was in 5. It says, 7, free or not. Part 2. Okay. So, godliness. And then, beside this, giving diligence. And it says, knowledge, faith, virtue, knowledge. And then in Luke 8:46, it says, and Jesus says, somebody had touched me. And this is what I was telling you. The touch was like a mighty, strong, you know, like a miracle when it happens. You know, it came out of him. So I want you to retain that information in a minute, because faith without work is death. I want you to know, if you have faith, if you have the faith of God in you, there must be some manifestation. There must be some work. Work means there has to be some vindication. Amen. That you have what you said you have. How other words I'm going to know. Anybody will know unless there's a vindication. That God will vindicate your faith. So God was full of faith. Jesus was full of faith. And that was a vindication that faith was in there. See? So if we don't have that, then your faith, my faith, will be dead. We can come to church every day. We can do everything. And if our life never changed and nothing happens, your faith is dead. Because their faith should be manifested. A virtue is an action. It's faith in action. It's all it is. See, Jesus believed. She believed. And what happened next? An action happened. Right? So that is what needs to be happening among us too. Because we're serving a living God. God is not dead. God is alive. How can I prove to you that? Well, if he do the same thing he did yesterday, today, it won't be the same. It will be him. Yes, of sure. That's all faith. Now, and Ephesians says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto God works, unto good works. So it's not my work. Whatever happens here, it's not my work. I was predestined before the foundation of the world to do certain work. He predestined me. But that work has to come forward, right? By faith. He spoke and things work, right? The same thing with you. You, one of these days, you and me, we're going to have the word in our lips. Life or death. Amen. See? It will be the voice of God. It's going to return. Of course, when I talked to that lady, that was my voice, that sister, that was my voice. Yeah, that was Brother Branham's voice. But God speaks. If you yield to God, God will speak to you. If you're honest and sincere and you want to live this life, God will have to honor his word. And I will put God in the spot. When I'm in that church, I don't want to do those things, but I tell God, I must step as a step of faith. And I leave the rest to you. That's how much I trust God. When I tell that lady, come and stand, don't say nothing to me. What do you think I'm doing? I'm not playing. I don't even know what's going to happen. But I'm trusting that I know that God, that is faithful, if he's really here and I'm his son and I'm a minister, a servant, he needs to respond, not me. He's the one that has to back up his word. And if he said he's there and he knows the secrets of your heart through the word that knows the secrets of your heart, then, I'm here, God, now you do the rest. The challenge tonight is not in me, it's in him. He is the one who has to respond for his own word. Amen. But I'm dumb enough to stand and say, I believe it. For God is, for we are a masterpiece. Yeah, workmanship, we are a masterpiece. God has created us anew. See? He's creating us. He's creating to reproduce himself in us, in Christ Jesus. That's what he's doing. So we can do the good things that he predestined for us to do today. There's a purpose for you. There's a purpose. And God put you here for a purpose. You need to find out what the purpose is. He says, and that was done long ago, planned long ago. 2 Peter, then we continue, 1:6, and to knowledge, temperance is self-control. Now, and to temperance, patience, endurance, to run a race, you have to have endurance, to have to have patience. When those guys run at 26 and a quarter mile, you have to have some patience. In fact, when you put a tree in the ground, you put the seed, you better have patience because you're not going to go next day and uncover it. Let me see where you are. And next week, oh, come on. You have to have patience. And when it grows, you have to have patience to wait for those fruits. Sometimes you have to wait a whole year for a fruit. So don't you know that that is in the natural, that you and I have to run this race with patience? The people that get in trouble are the impatient people. That's what they call patience. You go to the hospital and you become like, what? You're supposed to have patience. That's what they call patience. But most of the people that I saw in the hospital, they're impatient. Oh, yeah. See, that's where that come from. See, you learn from me here and there. Hebrews 6:15, and Abraham waited patiently. How long? 25 years for a promise. I've been out of... I'm not saying that I'm Abraham or a prophet, but I've been waiting for more than 30 years. But I know that if I'm patient, God will do what he promised me that he will do. I will be changed because he promised. I need to be patient. That's all. Patient. That's one of the things that people don't have today. Patience. You got microwave and you got all this stuff. So he received what God has promised after he has patience. See? 2 Peter 1:7, unto godliness, brotherly kindness. See, now you're getting higher, higher, until you have to love your brother. See? See, this is the thing that start coming on. Peter says, to this, you are this, you are this, you are this, until you start loving your brother. You cannot love your brother when you're just starting. You will. He says, and then, unto godliness, brotherly kindness, affection, that is affection for your brother, and to brotherly kindness, charity, that is love. Now, I want to show you the process. Before I do that, I even brought something, because sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words. So, actually just bring pictures anyway. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in living sacrifice. What kind of a sacrifice? Living sacrifice, not dead sacrifice. Don't come to church dead. You're supposed to be a living stone, not a dead stone. Everything that has life, praise the Lord. The psalm said, well, you have life, you better praise the Lord. Everything that has a breath in it, have life. You should be praising the Lord. We are not dead. We are alive and well. So Romans says, present your bodies in a living sacrifice. Now, Paul says this. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Well, that means he's dead. Not physically, spiritually, he's dead. He says, when he died, I die. He says, nevertheless, I live not, but he lives in me. Amen. You need to say the same thing. I live no longer. He lives in me. So it's no longer your life. It is his life. So we better start divorcing ourselves from our dead husband, because we got another husband. And Paul says, a sacrificed life means that no longer I live, but he lives in me. And I live in that hope that he's in me. So Paul is saying, living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Also, it has another implication, because, you know, he is our sacrifice. See, living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. So like I said, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live now, live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He says, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he gave himself for me. So I no longer, you know, have any rights to myself. I gave up all my rights. See? To take his. He took my robe. I took his robe. Now, I don't belong to me any longer. So I better start acting, you know, that he is my owner now. You know what that means? That means that you can have one mind only. The mind of Christ. So you don't have a thought coming to you. I don't have a thought coming to me. We don't have a decision to make. We already make our decision to follow him and relinquish all my rights to my husband. Now, you take care of me. You provide for me. You will bless me. I'm the queen of the house. I want a big house. I want a pool. You know, make me happy. And he will make you happy. He might not give you all that stuff, but that is his job, to make sure she is happy. And she knows what she has need of. See? So Paul says, living sacrifice, but not me. See, I'm dead. So we become a living sacrifice when we die completely to our own nature. See? And then we start living in him. Whatever he wants, that's what I want. Whatever God desires, that's what I desire. See? That's all it is to it. When you come to choose evil or good, well, there's no choice. It had to be good. See? There's no choice, because you have the mind of Christ. You lost your mind. So his thoughts are your thoughts. That's all it is. So if he says, come unto me, you that are heavy laden, and I make you rest, then that's what it means. I don't have to think about, oh, I wonder what that means. No, that's what it means. I prove it to you. You come over here, you believe it, I believe it, and see what happens. I told the sister, if you believe that God is here and he can help you and he can talk to you, I believe it too. Let's go. God will not disappoint me. You neither. So Paul is saying that his whole self is crucified. See, that all Eli is gone. See, I don't have no business resurrecting that guy. In fact, that's the whole fight in life. I need to keep him down where he belongs. See, leave him down. I mean, he wants to come up, but you know, he's dead, as far as I know. That old Eli, don't ask me about him. I haven't seen him for a while, and I don't want to see him. See? He's no longer living. You know who lives, but it's Christ that is living in me now. So I live in this earth, in this body, by trusting the Son of God now. I don't trust myself. I don't even think I have a thought coming, but I trust God, who loves me, and he gave his life for me. And that is the kind of a sacrificial life that we have to live. It is his thoughts, his desire is what I want to do. Amen. We don't have to think too hard on this. See, the Bible says it. I do it. That's all it is to it. And he said to them in Luke 9:23, and he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's self-sacrifice. Forget about yourself. You ain't got nothing coming. See? You don't even have a thought coming. He says, deny yourself. You want to come after me? Jesus Christ says, forget about yourself. Forget about your selfish self. You and no more. That person is gone. He says, deny yourself. Deny yourself, he says, and take up your cross. You know what that means? And follow me. You're going to have to die every day. This is not I died 20 years ago. This is a progress, a journey. So you must die today. I had to die. Tomorrow, I had to die. You know why? Because if you don't die that day, you will not resurrect. I told you, you need to be ready at any time. So if you know that you are dead, indeed, every day when you wake up, it's not my life, it's your life, then you are a candidate to be resurrected. But as long as we have our own thought and doing our own thing, God is not living in there. If we're going to follow God, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross. That means I have to crucify my thought, my desire, my intention in that cross every day. Not just 20 years ago when I was saved. I had to do every day when I get up what pleases him. I got to go to work. I know that. And I got to eat. I know that. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. It's doing his will. His word. So that is a living sacrifice. I am dead and he's alive. So Romans 12. Now let me get to Romans 12 too. I started with 1. And be not conformed. Conform means to be fashioned to anything else but his word. To be conformed is to be fashioned to something else. To be according. You know, I was in the army for many years. And I was conforming. That's conforming. You conform to the rules, to the law. You know, I call it modified behavior. You know, you can act to be something that you are not, but you can act. You can modify depending of what you want. At work, you have a career and a progression, and you want the next promotion. You will do everything that it takes. And that's what we call modified behavior. You will act so nice, you know. Maybe not when you're out of work, but at work, I had to put up an image. See? I had to be somebody that they want me to be. That's what called reputation. You know? Reputation is what people think of you. So you have to create an image that is going to give them what they want to see in you. You have to make it happen. Imitate is what I'm talking about. That's conforming. I was in the army. I did everything they told me to do so I have a good life. If not, out. So if they told me to drop, I drop. I didn't think about it. Why? Even though I didn't care about doing push-up and doing all that stuff, but I had to conform. I had to conform to the law. Some people come to church and they're still conforming. You can go through the ethic book and the rule book, and I got to do this. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to steal. You're conforming. You just a fabricated, a manufactured Christian. As long as you just conforming. See? Conforming only takes you so far. Conforming is okay. The problem is you will not make it to the end. Let me show you. Cain was conforming. Cain, Jesus came, God came to him and said, Cain, I know you don't understand what your brother is doing. I accepted him because, see, here in Romans 2 says that if you, I'm Romans 2, yes, 12:2 says that if you want to know the good and perfect will of God, the acceptable will of God, see, you have to be transformed. Because that happens through the Holy Ghost. Cain didn't have the Holy Ghost. Cain didn't have no kind of revelation at all. Right? The Holy Ghost was not given yet, but he had no revelation. So God said, hey, I know you don't have any revelation, but if you conform. You know, there's a lot of people that are coming to church in this message and they're conforming. This is the reason I'm talking to you about this. Because I need to know I'm not conforming, but I'm transforming. Amen. So, Cain, I will accept you, see, if you just conform to the law, to the instructions. I will have a place for you. You will not be in the bride, but you will have eternal life. Amen. If you just conform. Now, I'm not happy enough to conform. I want to make sure my election and call is sure. You need to know that your call and your election is sure. This is all what is all this about. He says, be conformed, fashion, modify behavior, having a form. See, that's what I was telling you. They're having a form of godliness. When people are conforming, they're only having a form. They have a system. You know, like the army, like the denomination. No. They have a system that make them conform to their instruction, not God's instruction. But that's all right. That's what you see outside, you know, denomination, they have miracles. They have supernatural things happen. Everything that is out there, sometimes they put us to shame. But I tell you one thing, that day, when they come to that day, they're going to say, but didn't we preach the gospel? But we did miracles. Hey, we did the supernatural. Hey, and Jesus, and God is going to say, I knew you not depart from me. Workers of what? Why? Because they knew what to do. Heavens declare God. They knew the Godhead. They knew all the stuff, but they decided to what? To do what they want to conform. See? So we don't want to conform. We need to make sure we are being transformed. It says conform, having a form, having we acting in accordance to rules and law, you know, complying, submitting to authority. You know, in this message, people submit to authorities that they are only being, you know, conforming to their control and rules and ethics. That's not transforming. That's called conforming. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, sorry to tell you, I know everybody has the Holy Ghost here. No, I'm not judging anybody. I'm saying if someone don't have the Holy Ghost, you're conforming. Because the only way you can be transformed is through the Holy Ghost. I mean, it might take 10 years. It might take 20 years. I don't know. You know, I'm not judging. I mean, it took years for me. It takes years for somebody. But sooner or later, if the Holy Ghost don't come, you're conforming. And I don't want to be conforming when he comes. He says, Matthew 19:16-22, conforming to the law, see, and not the will of God. That's what happened. I'm not going to read that, but that's what happened to the rich ruler. He came to God and said, what can I do to have eternal life? Well, you got to be transformed if you want eternal life. Even though some are going to get eternal life for what the work they did, but we're not talking about that part. But I'm talking about, he comes to him and says, tell me, and Rabbi says, well, you call me good? There's only one good, see? It's the good, perfect will of God. It's just God in you. It's not me, it's God in me. He says, what do you want? I want to know, these guys out there preaching all this stuff, but they don't have anything good to say. In them, they know, I know you have something, because I've seen you. I've seen your works, and your works testify who you are. See? And the rich ruler says, and God told him, I mean, Jesus told him, listen, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And what did he say? He got sad because he was a rich, had most rich. So he decided to conform instead of transform. He chose to conform to the law. But I have done all the law. I obey all the law. Yeah, but there's another dispensation here now. See? There's another turning here. And he says, follow me. See? And you'll be my disciple. See? And in that day, you will receive eternal life. But he decided to what? To conform to the law. And we have a lot of people that like to conform to the law. And they do very well. You know, there are some people that they are better looking than me. They are nice, nicer than I am. They are even helpful than I am. They probably do better things. In the times of Jesus, there were some that even looked better than Jesus. Jesus was very abrasive when it came to people. Not because he wanted to. It's just that he was dealing with two kind of people. The conformings and the transformings. When it came to the prostitute, when it came to that and the tax collector and the apostle, he was very nice to them. But when it came to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that wanted to trap him and wanted to get him and wanted to kill him, that was a different story. He told them the truth just straightforward. He was abrasive with them. Hey, you white walls, you father is the devil. I mean, that was hard. He didn't cut no corners. This is what it is. Now, you want to conform or you want to transform? Well, just, but the people that came that wanted the change in their life, he loved them. I don't saying that God don't love the sinner or the lost. He loved everyone, but he knows the heart. He says he knew the heart of those people. They wanted to entrap them with questions and things. Now, conforming. Now, I'm going to show you this. Without an understanding, you can go to Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he says, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Now, without the understanding of the Holy Ghost, you will conform if you do this. You conform into the Word of God. And he says, if you conform to the Word of God, I'll be with you. The problem is that I want him to be a little bit more than with me. I want him to be in me. The people that are baptized in the name of Son and Holy Ghost, they have supernatural, they have wonders. They do all that stuff because God is in their midst, with them, but not in them. Because in order for a transformation, you got to go to Acts 2:38 and get the Holy Ghost. So Acts 2:38 is a transformation formula. See, Matthew 28:19 is a conforming. That's what they can do what they can because God is still with them. There's an unction there in their flesh. They can do a service and they can bring the unction down. They can bring the Spirit of God down better than you and I can do sometimes. And they can ask whatever they want at that point. They can do what they can do and God will give it to them. But still, when that is over and they go home, that's all they got. It was no change. It was conforming to the Word of God. And that's why he told Cain, you can conform. I'll be with you and I will help you, you know, until the end of the world. That means when the world is over, his judgment comes. But Acts 2:38 is what I call transforming power. See, that has the Holy Ghost, a promise not only to be with you, but to be in you. So that's the difference between conforming and transforming. Now, this is what Brother Branham says. In 62:10-14, the statue of the perfect man. Now, knowledge, now, not worldly knowledge, see, but it is heavenly knowledge. Now, I know Matthew 28 is the same thing as Acts 2:38. There's no different. I just know the revelation, why these two things are the same. But if you don't have the revelation, you got a worldly, you know, understanding of somebody that told you this is what it is. But see, that's worldly knowledge still. You go to seminaries, they get educated, it's still worldly knowledge. But it is heavenly knowledge. And heavenly knowledge, when God is the fountain of knowledge, if God is the Word, then if you got heavenly knowledge and you believe the Word and you reason, and if you reason anything by the Word, then you're right. See? But you have to have the Holy Spirit in order to have heavenly knowledge. Transforming Acts 2:38. I want to show you something right quick. I don't even know what time. I'm running here. Oh, a little bit of time.
I brought this
Peter was talking about the nature of God. Let me see if I can do this. Let's see. I don't know how this works, but we're going to make it work. Kind of crooked. I guess I better stay there. Okay, let's leave it there. Well, this is me. You don't want to see that one. You want to see this one. Can you see this one? Can you see that one? Well, kind of. Right. This is what Paul is talking. You're familiar with this. Okay. So, I want you to see what Peter is talking about. He said, take your faith. You know, you have to have faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. You have to have faith. Everything becomes, start with faith. The faith of Jesus Christ when you get saved. But to your faith, make sure you have some virtue. You have some action with that faith. Because if that faith don't do nothing for you, do nothing for nobody, it's dead. If God will not believe his word today, we will not be here. We'll be dead faith. But he have faith and he also believed what he spoke and what happened. It came to pass. It was power. See? And he's saying, add to your virtue then, when you have faith, and you know that you have vindication, that you have a faith. See? You know that God is with you. You know that he's there and he's going to respond. Then, add some knowledge of God. So when you come to church, when you read your Bible, when you learn, when you get a revelation of the Word of God, what happened? The more knowledge you have, your faith continues increasing. And the more your faith increases, the more the action increases. So if you've been here 20, 40 years and you're still in the same place, something has happened wrong. Because when we started this, your faith should be showing, you know, through your action that is there. God will vindicate that. You don't have to worry about it. Because God will give you the faith and then he tests you. He tests you to see if it's, you need to understand that that is there. God knows what is there. So you come. You come to Sunday school. You come to church. You read your Bible and you get more knowledge. And the more knowledge you get, your faith will increase. It gets stronger because the only way your faith will get stronger, it has to anchor on something, and that's the Word of God. The more you know God, the more faith, the more you love him, the more you have peace, and the more you have life. So what happened? So you want the nature of God, so this is the elements of a character of God, is what we're talking about. That is the whole thing. You know, here, we are here because I want the character. You know that without the character of God, you will not live here. And if you do, whatever character you got, you take. I don't want my mind instead. I want his character. He is creating me, you know. Character is not a gift. It's you have to. Actually, a character forgot the word. Not a gift, but a what? A victory. You got to get there. So you get knowledge. And you get knowledge, and you get faith, and you start working it, and you get more, and then, sooner or later, you have to add something to it. It has to produce temperance. What is temperance? Self-control. What is good to have all this knowledge and have all this faith, and you cannot control yourself? Because now it gets to the point that you have to decide here, you know, who is the boss. You have to control your flesh. I got to control my flesh. Because now the more knowledge I get and the more God will give me, I should be able to be responsible for that. God will not give you more light if you cannot walk in that light. But he's going to test you. He's going to test you. He's going to give you something and he's going to test you. And then when he sees that you can control yourself, remember, it is evil. Or it is good. Either we choose what is good and perfect and acceptable will of God or it's not. That comes over here. Controlling the flesh. See? So we start growing now. It's a cycle. Because every day, you know, I go through this. And I go through this and God will test me. Can you control yourself? You know, then you got faith. Let's go to the next step. And then go to the next test. And then go to the next. This is every day. Because God needs to bring you there. So, sooner or later, 20 years later, 10 years later, remember Abraham had patience? And he waited? If you're still impatient, you're not here yet. God is still working. Because all this should produce what? Patience. If you're still impatient, like I am, sometimes I get impatient. That means I'm probably about right here. I'm still working. God is still working on me. Now, you can know the whole message. You can memorize the whole Bible. But if you cannot control yourself, what good is that do? If the word of God cannot control yourself, that is what is going to happen. That is the test right here. Here's a word. You have faith. What are you going to do? The test comes. See, you can control your flesh. Because it is going to be evil or it is going to be me. So he's testing you. He knows what you're going to do. But you need to know. If you never stole or steal something, how do you know that you a person that is, what do you call the word? Skate. I remember in a minute. Huh?
Honest.
Honest, thank you. I tell you, I'm losing my mind. But that's good anyway. Anyway, you cannot tell me you honest Bill when you never had a chance to steal. The only way I know you will be honest is when somebody gave you change and gave you $20 extra and you went back to the store and you gave it back because you said you gave me too much money, honey, and you're going to have to pay for it. Or how do I know you're not a liar until you have the chance to lie? When the boss asks you, "Where were you yesterday? I was looking for you." And you said, "And I called you. Were you home?" Like Brother Branham says, tell him I'm not home. Well, that was a lie. He has to repent for that. He paid for that. A son of God will pay for those little mistakes. See? But how do you know you're not a liar until you have a chance to lie? See? And you're going to be tested. And you're going to be tested to see if you have control of that flesh. You know? God will bring your flesh to a control point. If you lean on Him and His Word, He will. He promised, if you're a son of God, that has to happen. This is what Peter saying. Then we work on the next one. Add some patience to it. See? Now, you have faith. You have a promise. And you believe God. For how long? Oh, I don't know how long it's going to take. Patience. God is going to test you. Abraham, 25 years. But see, he had patience. So, now we get into being devout. Being holy. See, godliness. Be respectful. There was fear of God. Not to do evil, but to do good. So now when you're getting up here, now God starts trusting you a little bit more. See, you start trusting with the word, with the knowledge. Because now you got patience with someone else. See, sometimes we're impatient with our wife or with our children, but now you got patience and you can control your anger and you can control whatever temptation comes out. With every temptation, you have a way out, but you have to make sure you are in control. God will give you the answer, but who has to choose? You got to be. When I said you got to be in control, it means you have to let your control be on that Holy Ghost. It's what either it is you, the flesh, or it is the spirit. We walk in one of those two realms. So you get to godliness, and now things start looking better now, because now I am being obedient to the will of God. See, I'm being patient. I can control this flesh. Now I can be obedient to His will. Now I can be pure, holy, not by my own righteousness, His righteousness. See, now my life, nobody can put a finger on my life. See, now we can be walking, you know, like. Who put a finger on Brother Branham? Nobody. Why? Because he got this far. Well, that's not far enough yet. You can be little old saint sister, but look at what happened here. What's next after you start being obedient? After you add all these things, what do you think is the second last thing? to the capstone. You know what? It's not the love of God first. It is the love of your brother that comes first, because he loved you first. Then you can love your brother. But until you love your brother, you cannot be capped. You can tell me that you love God all you want to, but until you love your brother, the capstone will not come. So where are you at now? Well, Peter said, all these divine promises, and he is your measuring stick. And this happened daily. This is not a one-time deal. We go through this, but we keep adding, and we keep adding until it stays. You know, we work at it, and God help us with the Holy Ghost. But when you said you got all these things, then what is that part? Your love for your brother. If you love your brother, you don't lie. If you love your brother, you are honest. If you love your brother, you don't irritate your brother. If you love your brother, you don't bring false accusation. I mean, on and on. This is where separates the Christian from the non-Christian. Because when you get here, you know, here is where you forgive. It doesn't matter if they forgive you. This is where you forgive. If you, Matthew said, if you have your offering, you bring it to the altar, and there you know that somebody has something against you, intentionally or not, leave your sacrifice there. God will not accept it. If you know that somebody has something against you and you don't do something about it, it doesn't matter if it wasn't your fault. I'm not saying it was your fault. No, he don't say that. He's saying it. If you know, make it right. Because God cannot continue blessing you until you make that right. That's up here. Forgiveness. Love of the brother. Here is where we don't, we come to the point, you know, that we can be sincere. I can look at my brother straight in his face and his eyes, and I can talk to him. And he knows I love him, and I know he loves me. I don't have to fear my brother. You know, there's some brothers and sisters sometimes, no, I don't know about sisters, but I know brothers that sometimes you see them and you just want to kind of, they're coming in the left and you want to go to the right, because to begin with, you know, you don't want to deal with them. And there's some, Brother Brown said, there's some other ones that you, it's a joy to be around them. Right? Why? Because we just carry spirits. Either we have the spirit of God, or we have another spirit. You cannot have two spirits. Now, we always said you can serve two masters, Mammon or God. I tell you, you cannot serve two spirits, you know, the world or God. I said you cannot have two minds. Either it is your mind or it is his mind. You cannot serve two minds. So either you're dead or you're not. And if you are dead, then this happens. How close are we to be caught with divine love, or love divine? Well, search yourself. Where are you at? We're going to make mistakes. I know that. We're going to make mistakes. I'm still making mistakes. And that's just about 90% of the trouble today, that we try to inject into the program of God. This is the program of God. Outthinking God. How can you outthink God? He says, and we are not supposed to think. I lost my mind? Yes. When the word says do, you don't have no right to think. Because you lost your mind. That's what all this comes here. You know, controlling that inner man that is still there. See? He says, our thinking, and we are not supposed to think. Oh, wow. So what are we supposed to do? I know I have to think when I'm at work. We're not talking about that. I know you have to think what you're going to eat. We're not talking about that. We are talking about God's dealing and will in our life and his word. Our spiritual life is what I'm talking about. Well, I'm not going to go to church. Here we go again. Don't say that. But, you know, if it wasn't in the Bible, I would keep my mouth shut. But the Bible says, do not forsake your assembly. Right? So I got the right to say it. It's in the Bible. I didn't say it. He said it. So, are you going to think that? Or what do you want to think, Brother Paul, Brother Park? Which what? Are you going to stay home or are you going to come to church? Which one? That one. So, yeah. There's no thinking. You're sick? Yeah. You're quarantined? Stay home. I'm not talking about that. If you have to choose something, what will you choose? Either will be your mind. If he's alive, then you need to kill it. It has to be his mind. And what is his mind? His word. But see, that's when we start getting up here. When you start getting, the higher you get, the more you lose your mind. You know? Finally, Brother Brown says, at all, you're not supposed to think at all. He does our thinking. Wow. It sounds like a fairy tale. I told that sister, you stand there, don't talk to me. Let him do the thinking. You don't have a thought coming. I don't have a thought coming. I believe God has a thought coming. Sit down. Let's wait. And God spoke. We are supposed to surrender our thinking to his will. Now, that is transforming material. That is not conforming. That is transforming material. A person that is being transformed is a person that loses his mind and his thought. It's not thought coming, but it's only his heavenly thought. Listen, my friend, do you have the mind of God or you have your mind? The Bible said we have the mind of who? Of him. So either we're going to serve that mind or we're going to serve our mind. There's nothing, you know, toggling back and forward. Either you live or either not. There's no middle point here. Yes, maybe we're not all there, but that's what I want to get. Brother Brown said, we want to be, give me a few more minutes, I'm almost done. We want to be, make this Bible our looking glass, see? And let ourselves be molded by his character. All right, he says, having his character, his mind, letting the man that was in Christ to be in us. Now we say that all the time. We say that all the time, but it's time that we start letting that happen. His mind was always what was in his mind to do, the mind that was in Christ, always to stay with the Father's word. That's what Christ did. He always stayed with the Father's word. He said, no matter, he says, what looked glossy or what looked this way, it didn't make any difference to him. The Father's word is what counted. Now we're talking about transforming material. We are transitioning to that, to losing our mind completely. I cannot explain you the dream. I lost my mind completely. I'm not there yet, but that's what I want. I want to lose myself in him every day. I'm not there yet, but I'm praying for me. Because that's what I want. He said, the Father's word is what counted. Everywhere, when he met the devil, he never even used his power to defeat him. Why? He used the word, because that was him. He was God in flesh. We got to get to that point. We are God in flesh. And when we go, when we get to that point that it's no longer Eli, but it's him, the devil will know. You know, the devil will know who's talking. If it sounds like me and it looks like me, it's not me though. He knows. He knows. Did you ever think he never wrote a book when he was in earth talking about Christ? As far as we know, he never wrote but one time. That was in the sand. And then he raised it out, probably afterwards. Well, I got a thought on this. Sorry, it's my thought. No, but nobody knows why he wrote in the sand, right? But he wrote before. God wrote before with his finger. Did he? Or did he not? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wrote the what? The Ten Commandments. So he said, whoever got any sin, cast the first stone, and he got down. And what do you think he was writing again with a finger? That's my thought anyway. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. And then one by one, when they started looking, you break one, you break them all. Oh, I lie. Do not steal. Do not do this. And slowly, when they started seeing, they said, well, I have done that. Well, then slowly. Why? Because that's what he was writing. I mean, to me, you know, if you had not committed none of these, then you can go ahead and throw the stone. But they started looking and said, slowly, I done that. So whoever never committed any sin, cast the first stone. He said, then erased it out probably afterward. Why didn't he wrote a word? Because he was the word. See? He lived the word. We don't need so many books when you become a written epistle of God. See? That's what God wants you to be, an image of him. God wants you to be another Bible. God wants you to be a walking Bible. He says, you know, in the pagan world, how do these pagans put up an idol and they prostrate themselves before the idols and work themselves into such of emotion till they believe they can hear that idol speak back to them? It is all a mental affair. See? But how this vice versa from God is the truth. See? God can do that through us. Whatever this stays truth, they have to be false. See? Let me read you one more. You can stand. I got one more to read you. So stand to your feet, and I'm done. Oh, what a disgrace it is today that men and women who claim to be sons or daughters of God, with the nature of God in them, it says, ministers in the pulpit, claiming to be sons of God, and denying there is a divine healing, denying there is an operation of the Holy Spirit. I will never negate that. I told the sister, if seer is still operating. See, and he can do whatever he wants. I'm just dumb enough to take his word. He says, denying there is an operation of the Holy Spirit right here, right now. What a shame it is for our sister who claimed to be saints of God, cutting their hair, putting their clothes off, and acting that way they do. How a shame it is for our churches permit men that marry two or three times to be deacons and to boards and things. What a disgrace, he said. We ought to realize that thought we are aliens in this world. We are sons and daughters of the King of Heaven, and our character within us should be like Jesus Christ, that we might reflect his character by his being. God is in his people. Yes, I believe that with all my heart. But if God is in you, this has got to happen. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, Brother Branham told us about that black guy that was working as a slave, and he was the son of a king. It doesn't matter on the circumstances. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter what life situations are. A son of God is a son of God wherever he goes. The situation don't have nothing to do with anything. Amen. So I believe that God is here tonight. Amen. And let us pray. Father, we love you. Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what Brother Branham, that was his key. That was his theme, that God has not changed. We change him, but he has not changed. He will do the same thing today that he did yesterday and will do tomorrow. Father, we pray that we come to the realization that God is in us, Father. And that God that is in us wants to bring his self through us. He wants to manifest his life. He wants to reproduce his life in me. All he asking me is to get out of the way and let him finish the work that he started in me. I know he will finish it. Father, we love you. Forgive us when we falter, we make mistakes. Forgive us when we fail, Father. It's not intentionally. We cannot sin. The Bible said if that incorruptible seed remains in you. You cannot sin. You cannot disbelieve God. But we made mistakes, so we get up. We said we're sorry, and we move on. Father, we thank you because you have made a way for us tonight. Thank you because you are the way maker. You are transforming our life, Father. And we're looking forward to that result. We are looking forward. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to be changed. That change is going to happen here. It has to happen here. We cannot just live any kind of way and just sitting and checking a box and conforming to the point that when he comes, I'll be changed. No, you won't. You'll be left. Because the transformation already started. The transition already started. And God is going to have a bride. God will have a bride that is clean and pure and without wrinkles. And we're stains. God already says it will, and it will happen. I just want to be part of that. I just want to be part of that. And Lord, help me. Whatever situation I find myself, I'll be worthy of your calling. I'll be worthy of your election. I want that to be count. I want that to count. Father, because this is not my work. You chose me. You called me. And it had nothing to do with it. I just want to, now that I know you, and I have know that you love me, I just want to do what is best for you. Your desires, your will, your good and perfect and acceptable will is what I want to do in my life. Forgive me where sometimes I don't, Father, but I want to. My desire is to do your desire, that in my life it will be fulfilled. I ask you this thing, Father, and I know that it's my brother's desire, my sister's desire tonight. I pray for them just as well. Father, we want to know you more. We just claim that we want to know you more. Lord, help me to get out of the way, Father, to empty myself so you can reveal yourself more to me, Father, until it comes to the point that you will consume, you will possess you my body completely, Lord. That's what I want. I want to be you. That is what I want. People want to look at superheroes. Today, you are my hero, God. You are the one that I look to and I look forward to be. I want to be like you. Yeah, people think I'm crazy. That's fine. Leave me that way. I'm happy. Because I want to be like him. And I am so thankful that his spirit that lives in me can vindicate that life can be lived through a human being like me. I mean, it's awesome and it's just blow my mind. Why did you choose me? But I'm glad that you chose me. Now, Lord, just give me that what I need of to continue and to finish this race. In the name of Jesus, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Where are you at? Come on. I love you guys. Thank you for putting up with me today.